All right, welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton. Along with me is the mighty might of the mile, Bethany McChesney. And yeah, I use that like on a story, but I can use it again because I'm allowed. And brought to you by Duonamic, door frame pull-up thing. So we're going to have a quick chat before we get to our guest. And we're going to talk about your deck a mile. Before we do, how's it feel being a goalie mom?
Oh, that's so stressful.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. And so my daughter plays goalie for soccer, which always makes me nervous too. But for some reason, the hockey goalie thing makes me more nervous. I don't know why.
I played goal for years, for quite a while. And then my daughter said, I want to play goal. I'm like, okay, cool. But she's like, I want to play this year. I'm like, you've never played a game of hockey in your life. You could barely skate. She's like, okay, I want to play. And I don't know if you're like this, but I was in the stands, literally up top, screaming instructions.
Oh, yeah. I was just trying not to have a nervous breakdown. But the way her team works is, so it's house league. So they didn't have anyone who wanted to play goal, so they've been rotating through. And they've won pretty badly most of their games. And then, so Emerson was just like, let me just play goalie. So she felt like she'd have more control over the game that way. And all of a sudden, she's pulling out these crazy moves and, like, making these awesome saves. And I'm like, oh, no, she's really good at it. Now she's going to want to do it again.
Oh, it is horrible. It got to the point where they took me out of the stands. And they let me stand beside the bench so I could talk to her from there. And then they just put me on the bench.
That's smart.
Just work the goalie. That's it. It was hilarious. Mm-hmm. But yeah, every shot is like, it's almost like seeing your kid get punched. It's like, yeah. Is it going to hit him? Is it not? You know, it's just,
yeah.
I know that my friends mocked me unmercifully because they say, like, you've played goal all the time and you're relaxed and don't care. Your daughter steps in for one game and you're like sweating.
Yeah. I was so nervous. Yeah.
Oh, well. Now you know how she feels when she watches you race.
I don't think she feels that way.
Maybe not. All right. So yeah, this weekend you had your deck event. That's run down how the whole day went.
Yeah, so this one we wanted to offer both the mile and the strong, and teams and youth, which sounds like a lot. But I have clients who just kind of wanted to try both. Like, I really like the mile and I've only done the mile. So we had both and we had teams and we did have a fair amount of youth. I have youth classes and we've been training for a DECA stuff too. So I wanted to give them an opportunity. There's not many youth racing opportunities, I find. So we had that as well. So a lot kind of going on that day, but yeah, we had a good turnout. And we were very lucky with the weather. It had been calling for pouring rain all day and it barely sprinkled. So we got really lucky there. And yeah, it was a good day. We had some good performances, a lot of PBs, some people doing it for the first time.
The thing, well, you say you got a lot of kids. I think my favorites were the two girls who early on went head to head. Yeah. And had the best battle of the day. They literally came down to, I would think, about two burpees of each other. Mm-hmm. And then they teamed up later on and worked with the team. What is a great team. And then they, how old were they? They're probably like 11.
They're 11, 12. Yeah.
11, 12. Yeah. Yeah. And they pushed hard.
Yeah. And they're best friends and they're competitive dancers. So they have that competitive nature in them. And yeah, I couldn't believe how even they were. It did take me a fair bit to convince them. They were trying to bail like right up till the last minute, but I knew they would regret it if they didn't. And then after, they didn't speak to me for about an hour until they kind of forgot the pain. And then after, they were really, they had a good time with the team race. So they were grateful that they did it after.
And I haven't forgot, I owe Jeff an NA beer because his girl beat my girl.
Yeah, you
So
had a
I
little
haven't forgot,
stash.
Jeff. I know. I got you. I got it. I got you covered. But yeah, it was close. It was a hell of a battle. And they went back and forth too, a little passing back and forth,
I
boom, boom,
know, yeah.
boom.
It was a good race.
It was
And
great.
you know, it's interesting because when we were looking on the standings, there were no results at all for 12-year-old females. So I don't know, DECA affiliates, get your youth out there. It's kind of the future of the sport. So try to encourage getting those kids in the gym.
These races, and I mean RX1 does this, they need to get in schools and just like drag the kids out of the school and be like, hey, let's set up programming in you're getting youth, like mostly through team sports and stuff, getting them in there, right?
Yeah, and we have a before school program right now, and yeah, kids love it, and they're all so right now with a lot of team sports, they coaches want them doing like dry land training or off ice or whatever, and some kids really are drawn to that too. So then like the training that we do before school is just, it's very generic, like it would translate well to any sport. And yeah, I have some kids that have just really fallen in love with that training, and it's enjoying the training process is something when a kid can really grasp onto that at a young age, it's something that can stick with them. So getting them and we have fun with it too in the gym. It's not like, it's not all hardcore, and we kind of have friendly competitions and stuff. So yeah, it's really good to see. And sometimes I've had parents that come after their kid has talked so much about it. So it works both ways with, kids of parents of clients, and then I have some parents that join after their kids. So yeah, it's cool to see kind of the families doing it together.
So you're not sitting there with your stopwatch going, if you were 3 seconds off on your box overs, do it again.
No.
That's what you should be doing. That creates champions, Bethany.
Yeah, shame them. Shame them for underperforming.
So, and then we had two very different days performance-wise. I chose to take the day off because I've been blah.
Yeah.
My competitive fire had really died off after Farm Girl. I worked and worked and worked and worked and got ready to do really well there, and everything worked right. And then after that, I'm like, okay, oh, I kind of had that crash
Yeah.
where I need to get relit. And finally, after this weekend, watching you guys all go and not participating, got my FOMO up, even though I was there,
Yeah.
got me feeling good. And then yesterday, I just put in a killer workout. Today, I had a great workout. It's just, it's going good. But you, on the other hand, you had a surprisingly amazing day.
Yeah, surprising. I also wasn't Well, we talked about it earlier in the day. I wasn't even really planning on racing. I just like this is the third one that I've hosted, and I find it so hard to race during my event. Just even like mentally to kind of shift my brain off of running the event to focusing on myself, and with everything going on, and then just finding the right time to kind of fit it in. And I was tired. It's a lot of work setting up, and because we set up at another location, it's a lot of moving equipment. But yeah, we had this, and yeah, I had said I don't really know if I'm gonna race. Like I hadn't really planned on it. I'm like whatever. And then, yeah, there was a bit of a lull later in the afternoon. So I'm like, just get a workout in. Otherwise, you haven't worked out today or yesterday, and then you'll feel blah tomorrow. So just kind of do it as a workout. And right now, these times are for next season. So I'm like, it's gonna save you chasing around mile races next year. So at least you'll have a time in, even if it's not very good. So and that was literally my mentality is like, just get a workout, just hit your splits on the machines, just practice hitting your correct splits. And yeah, and I probably did about a 2 minute warm up. I ran the 160 loop, made sure my shoes felt fine, and then I'm like, oh, let's just go. And
Hold on. At one point, actually, you had to chase a guy down to make sure he wasn't tearing down the lap.
yeah, I did. Yeah, they were kind of cleaning it up. I'm like, wait, I'm just gonna go. And then they had already opened the gate, so like there was cars that were starting to go into the parking lot. So I had to dodge a truck once. Yeah, but I was like, oh, it's fine. I'm just doing it as a workout. Don't worry about it. But yeah, I think because I was just so relaxed in my mindset and just literally thinking, just hit splits for all of your stations. And then my legs have been super tired just from heavy training. So I was using the runs more as just as a recovery. And yeah, I hit my machines exactly to the second what I wanted them to do, and then the other movements, and like just do it as efficiently as you can, work on the transitions. And I think not smashing the first bit too, I finally felt pretty decent on the tank. So I felt like I could move the tank. And then when I came off of the tank, everybody started yelling, "You're on PB pace." And then I was coming like, really? And then I was coming in for my last run, and I was like, oh my goodness, it says 19 minutes. Like, I can't. So then, yeah, and then I just did burpees as fast as I could. So, but yeah, my last run when I went out and everyone was saying, you're gonna run a PB, and I was super confused. So I was like, I smashed the last run. I'm like, oh man, now I feel like I'm gonna puke. Yeah, and then I did my burpees as
You had a
fast
really good burpee though. I mean, I don't obviously have the splits, but it looked to me like it was a solid burpee. Like you still had lots of gas at the end, which is the same thing I discovered in my last one, right? You know, slow down to go fast.
Yeah, so it was a over a minute PB actually. So, which was very shocking to me. But I mean, I have been putting in a really solid block of training too, and so it is paying off, and like some really strength focused stuff. Yeah, so I don't know. And then just that relaxed mindset sometimes. I never felt like I was super straining too early. So I don't know. It just worked out. And then I love when my kids are there cheering me on. And my son was going out and like running the parking lot with me. And so after the run, after the lunges, I actually almost quit because I was like, my legs feel so tired doing these runs. And then with my kids there, and then again watching those two girls battle it out before, and I'm like, you can't quit when everybody's here. What, like, what kind of example is that? So I'm like, just finish it. And then, so yeah, I'm glad I did.
Well, that, like, honestly, that, I mean, we don't know what happened with times for 2024, but that should set you in a pretty good spot. Might not have to do another one.
I know, I might not. So I don't know. Yeah, pretty shocked. So,
So sticking with DECA thing, and I actually messaged Yancey about this today. So DECA Ultra, which we don't really know a ton about. They just kind of put it out there as essentially
Well, they
25.
didn't really put it. It was an accident.
Well, that's the
It
way
showed
the
up on the, it was just in the rule book all of a sudden.
Yeah, so they had to so they had to post.
Yeah.
So we don't know a ton though. 25K, 50 zone. Essentially it's five deck of fits. Then you can have a two-person picker. Anyway, but I've never seen anything Spartan or DECA has done where it's gotten universal positive reaction.
Yeah.
Like I haven't seen a negative comment yet. And I'm like, that's big, that's huge.
Yeah.
And it's not just like nobody's paying attention, like people are interested big
Yeah.
time. It's like, this is awesome, this is great. And I'm like, wow, like they
Yeah,
must.
I've got a lot of messages actually. People are like, oh, are you gonna do the ultra thing? That sounds really cool.
And of course,
Yeah, I think it sounds fantastic. That's right up my alley. Give me more running.
yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So 25K, 50 obstacles, or 50 zones. It is what a lot of people have been asking for. Not me, but a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And I'll be delighted to watch it. I'll enjoy it. I'll have a great time. I'll pick crew. I'll have a blast. I'd love to be
Yeah.
a part of it. I just don't want to do it. But not because I don't think it's cool. I just don't want to do the training for it. It's too long runs. And as a,
Yeah, 25K of running.
it is nice though that I'm like, I mean, we're just assuming it's going to be split up into the 500 meter intervals because I just can't see them bunching everything up, mostly because I can't see them doing a situation where they would have you run 5K and then spend, what is it, 2,500 meters on the row, and then
Yeah, I wouldn't like that as much, to be honest.
do 150 reverse lunges. Like, yeah, I don't think so. But
No.
anyway, so it looks huge. It looks great. A lot of people are interested. Good on you, Deca. That's kind of cool. No idea when, no idea where. Hopefully they'll announce it. I mean, I guess they'd announce it before Worlds. You can strike while the iron's hot.
So the thing I was thinking about this too, though, is are you only like how many people can you have doing this at one time? Because you're kind of taking a risk putting too many people out at once.
Yeah, because I mean, even if it is like five deckers back to back, and even if you space people out, they can lap and run into each other. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
there's lots of room on the running track, but you run the risk of people ahead running into people behind on the same zones and not having enough equipment. And so who knows? I'm sure they'll put a lot of thought into that. We'll see how that goes. And the other thing too is you're gonna need a boatload of judges.
Yeah, like, yeah, someone will have to be at stations pretty consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be a lot different than say at Worlds where you get your own judge the whole way through. You're likely just gonna have judges that just stay at one zone and
Yeah. Well, you could get away with only a couple judges at machines.
oh yeah, and they do that a lot. A couple of judges at machines
Yeah.
and like the tank you can usually do a couple of judges at.
Yeah.
But yeah, the farmers carry at the fits. You need like one judge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like so that's pretty easy. So, but yeah, the counting, burpees and lunges and box overs, those are gonna be a
Yeah.
bit much. Which I've always still said is the flaw in the system. It's so many counting things. Cool. Other than that, other things we didn't get to talk about. I don't think we talked about. Do we talk about before? Did we talk about Hyrox in Singapore in the cool stadium?
We didn't. No.
I don't really got a lot to say about it other than that was like the coolest looking venue ever. And I'm just sitting there in my head. And I even messaged Mintra. I'm like, when I saw the stories, I'm like, are you having visions of like full stands and people watching? And she's like, 100%. Like, completely geeked out. I'm like, it did look cool. I did hear it was really hot though.
Really hot.
Really hot,
Oh.
really hot, which, is what it is.
And it'd probably be super humid too. Oh.
Yeah. The other thing I saw about Hyrox, recently was and I don't know, I saw Hunter and Jonathan Wynn are gonna go for the doubles record. I don't care. Well, I don't care about the records. I mean meaningless when the courses aren't the same. They don't mean anything. And we still have to remind everybody Half Rocks is coming up. Not this weekend, but the weekend after. And if you can't make it there, if you're not running, we will be live streaming it. I'll be putting it on YouTube and I'll be putting up some links on Instagram, so it'll be nice and easy to find. So through OFX, you'll see it. So make sure you watch, and I will try to interact with everybody so that we can let you know what's going on. But the heats look pretty good. The men and the women's first waves, which is what I'll be streaming, will look. They'll be pretty good. There'll be good competition, provided Beth is ready to run.
I'll be ready to run.
Ready to run. Other than that, there's a couple other things I want to talk about, but we I think we can get to that another day because I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Murph stuff eventually. Because
Okay.
I'm started some Murph training because I really believe that it'll help the muscular endurance, which will help the burning legs in the tank and the burpees at
Yeah.
the end and all that stuff. So I've really been working like that. But of course, they're doing that, so I'm watching other stuff. And everybody's reps suck.
On
Yes, everybody's reps suck. Everybody's rep sucks. Everybody cheats. And I don't really care because it's not matter because I don't want to do it competitively. I just want to do it. All I want to say is if you're doing Murphs or anything like that or some kind of competition or a benchmark workout or whatever, and you want to claim or a 5K run and you want to claim a time, a PR, or whatever, just video yourself and look at it first. Or if you get a 5K on the road and it shows it on Strava and you're like, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, like, just make sure. Really frustrating. I don't know. It's a pet peeve. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, it is your pet peeve.
It's just horrible. It makes me upset. And some people don't know, right? Like, I remember I did a 5K on a treadmill once and my watch said it was like 1830. And I mean, it was realistically probably like 24. Or I'd even go, it was like a 24 5K pace, but I didn't know, like, what the hell. But make sure. And if you're doing reps, look at them in the camera and judge honestly. You'll know. And if
And
you just
also you
say,
see yourself, because sometimes you don't really know when you're doing things unless you video yourself.
exactly. And you're videoing yourself. Yes, sometimes it's vanity. Yes, sometimes it's for the gram. Sometimes it's for social media. But most of the time, you should be using it as just like the mirror in the gym. Like, hey, I kind of fucked that up. And I need to go deeper, or I need to fully extend, or I'm not getting full range of motion, or whatever those things are. So, yeah, do that. By the way, when we do the half rocks, you are all in a lot of trouble because Riley's judging.
Oh boy.
Get to depth.
Get those wall balls
Get her.
down.
She's a ruthless wall ball tyrant.
I have videoed myself doing wall balls a couple times to make sure I'm doing them at depth.
Yeah, I checked. I did them the other day, and I checked. And I'll be honest. I normally I think I'm pretty good. Like, but the ones I did the other day, from the angle I looked at, I was like, it's there, but it's just where normally I kind of leave no doubt. And I'm like, okay, so because I am going to run it too later on, and I'm like, I want to make sure I'm doing them right. Right. So I'll have to remember to get a little deeper. Yes, to grass almost. So. I don't know. I see that stuff in the pull-ups, and I'm not talking about butterfly pull-ups. You want to do butterfly pull-ups, and that's part of the thing. That's cool. That's great. Just get your chin above the bar and get full extension in your arms. You know, squats, get all the way down. Push-ups. There's way too many things to argue about push-ups. And you know, they'd have those droopy weight vests, so they're like 6 inches, their chest comes like 6 inches from the ground. Like, that's not, that's. It should be hand release. I want to do one where I would call it like strict Murph, where it's strict pull-ups, hand release push-ups, full depth squats. Good stuff. I don't know. Anyway, I've just been on the online looking. I'm being frustrated. All right, cool. Shall we go to our guest? That guest. All right. This man's been on a tirade, an incredible hot streak, coming off injury, and then he's just started tearing everything up. So we're gonna go right to it. Rylan Shadegg. All right. So we're here. Rylan Shadegg, wearing many hats, talking podiums. Hey, you actually, no, you know what? I need to talk to Hyperthreads because I gotta see if they can make me some plaid shorts.
Oh,
Because
they can easily make you some plaid shorts. They can throw anything you want on fabric.
I know, so I need some cool new plaid shorts because mine work. They're great. They're effective, but I think I can. I've got up my game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Got
That's what I'm all about, man. Up in the game. That's
That's
what
right.
we're going for with the clothing. I
And
really like how I know you guys are Canadian, but I really like how the white and blue, like star one that I wore at OCRWC was. I love that one.
Yeah. No, you guys, you know what? I'm actually, so anytime I've been doing commentating, I'm actually really thankful for you. I'm thankful for like you, for Hawk Call wearing his pirate booty shorts. And anybody who wears something stands out is fantastic. Like that's so helpful. Cause if you've ever done the commentary, it's on like you're like a little itty bitty screen in the corner of your laptop and you're like, who is that? What? And, oh, so standing out is fantastic. Hell, you just mentioned OCRWC, let's start there. We'll jump around the timeline a little bit. But yeah, so OCRWC, why don't you just fill us in on how your lead up to it was and what your logic was going in. And obviously coming, you know what, screw that. Let's go back again. You had coming off injury, right? So what
Kind
was
of an injury, not really an injury, to be honest. I think a lot of people think it's an injury, but I mean, I guess I don't really care as much now that it's a little bit more past me. But basically, I had like back in March, February actually, was when I got some really bad blisters on the bottom of my foot. One of them split open, it got infected. In Dubai when I was down there for Gov Games. I guess I was running lopsided enough that my Achilles flared up on the other side. So, because I had gotten it treated. you know, like try and get rid of the virus. And then I had a couple decent weeks after I rehabbed that. And then I got it treated again and it got super, super bad. It actually got way, way worse. That was after Big Bear. And I got sick for about 3 weeks before Big Bear. So I hadn't really strung together any training before then either, after Go Ruck Games, because that's when I got sick, was after Go Ruck Games while I was up in Canada, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I had had some other things happen, you know, like basement flooding, some personal life stuff that I don't really talk about, and then just like few other things going on. And then I finally had a couple good weeks in June and then got it treated again and just like couldn't run. And then I started numbing it with lidocaine after about 3 weeks of not running. Figured out a way to run because I just numb it with lidocaine so that I could handle it, because the doctor's like, well, you can run on it, it's fine. And then I was still running funny, so I flared up my Achilles on the other side again. Just because I'm lopsided and running on the right side. So finally just had to let go. I had already committed to going out to Chicago Savage and Spartan Pinocos or Poconos, whatever. And Palmerton is basically. You know, had had a rough week out on the East Coast. And came back home and was hit definitely like a low. And also when my insurance company decided that they weren't going to cover anything as well. And I found out there really wasn't a way to fight it. So all kinds of good things. And about 4 to 5 weeks out from OCRWC, I started being able to run again finally. Because I rehabbed my Achilles tendon to the point where it was okay to run on. And also my foot got better. So it finally healed up a bit, and so I started running. I had been cycling as much as possible and doing a bunch of machine work. So I popped into a Deca race or a couple Deca races, felt really good. Realized
hold on, felt really good seems to be a bit of an understatement. You like smashed the record for the strong and for the mile.
Well, I will say the setup was nice.
It helps.
They had all of the official equipment, so I do want to clarify that. But I did go over the setup with them, and they literally thought of everything, like the way that they set it up, so that I could cut down on transition time in the strong. So that helped a lot. And then also, I had basically been swimming, biking, and doing machine work and climbing all summer long almost. So my machines were significantly faster. My assault bike from all of the bike volume and assault biking that I've been doing was significantly faster. And then I had been running a little bit, and the little bit of running that I did a reverse periodization model. So the little bit of running that I did do was high intensity. So it fit in really well with the mile. And so it just kind of worked out. And after that, I decided, well, possibly I could race a 3K at OCRWC. But I had already found out about Alpha Warrior, which had basically no running in it and just obstacles and machines. And I was like, that's right up my alley right now. So I actually committed to that first and just kind of kept OCRWC on the table. And a couple weeks out from OCRWC, I had done some about 20 mile to 25 mile weeks, which is about half my normal volume for running. But I felt good, and I was still on the bike a lot to really work on the other energy systems that I like to feel comfortable in. So I decided to show up and just give it my all. So had a good race, just popped a good one. So it was nice.
It looked, now, I mean, coverage was spotty, but it did look like you were in really good form. The 3K, though, the obstacles, so compared to the 3K at Stratton, how did you find that, the race, comparatively?
So they still had the more difficult ones on the 3K course. There was just less of them. So really, it was only the only one that was semi which wasn't really even difficult, but the only one that was kind of difficult at the beginning was Skull Valley and then Drop Zone. Drop Zone usually takes a good amount of people out, but it's really weird. I've done so few Spartans this year. I'm actually struggling with some of the simpler stuff, but I've been at the ninja gym a lot, so I've been working a ton on big dynamic moves, and Skull Valley and Drop Zone and Ricochet a little bit, but especially Skull Valley and Drop Zone are big. You can make big moves on those, and so I was actually able to probably make 5 to 10 seconds in Drop Zone because I just lashayed from bar to bar.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the very last one, because it was flipped backwards, so it was a bigger gap.
And they raised the bell too, up behind the bar.
Yeah, and it was up behind, so you actually had to either punch through or go up behind and hit it. So that was different than last year, but my little brother, he raced before me, and he's like, I lashayed it, and immediately, I had kind of debated like if it was worth the risk or not. But definitely had that little brother thought in my head where I was like, if my little brother did it, I better be able to do this or I'm never going to hear the end of it. So I just went for it.
And he won his age, didn't he?
Yeah, he won his age group, showed up and threw down.
Nice, nice. That's always got to be fun. That's got to be fun bringing your little bro into there.
Yeah, and it was cool. We were talking in the car afterwards, and he was just saying, man, like, you know, he's been living with me the last couple months, and Isaac came out and lived with me for a bit. And it was really cool to hear from both of them, especially after the race, because they were like, everybody else, you know, just sees it. And they're like, well, Ryland just is naturally talented, or Ryland just shows up and he popped a good one because he's just, you know, he's just Ryland or whatever. But they got to see like all the times I did not want to go do intervals on my bike again. Or on the rower or on the skier or, you know, all the other stuff, the accessory work that I was doing. They got to see all that. And it was cool how both of them made comments where they were like, I'm glad it paid off for you. And that meant a lot. Cause I wasn't sure if it was going to for a long time. So I was really, really thankful that they were there to support me, because there were a lot of times when Isaac would encourage me because I was just frustrated that I couldn't run, because I have all this pent up like aggression and desire to be a mountain runner. And that was actually more of my plan this year, was to become a mountain runner, not as much of a hybrid athlete. And I just ended up being more of a hybrid athlete because that's the way my body forced me. And it was just like a small cut on the bottom of my foot. And it's crazy how something so small can start a chain of events so large. And with everything else that happened in my personal life this year, it's just like, it's kind of crazy how small things can just add up and everything can just compound. So it was really special to have Joshua there to see it.
You know, to the people that say stuff like that, oh, just naturally talented, oh, they're just good, they can just do this, they can just do that, and I think Beth and I have talked about this before, because I'm sure she gets her share of that too. Shockingly, I don't, but the thing about it, and I'll tell them, you don't beat Ryan Atkins, Leon Kofit, Ian Hosick. You don't beat those guys just because you're talented. It doesn't work that way. If you want to be successful in one of these sports at the high level of anything, yes, you do have to be talented. You also have to work your ass off. You have to outwork everybody, and you have to be smart, and you have to have a great plan. You need all three of those things. You can't just show up, be talented, and crush the best. It doesn't work that way. So when you see a guy like Ryland out there and he wins, it's not because he's talented. It's because he is talented, but he's put in the work and he had a good plan and he stuck to it. And that's why. So anybody who says you just show up and you're talented and you win, no, you don't. Get over it.
I think it just like, yeah, I actually grew up in a community. It was actually why I struggled with Christianity a lot in my early adulthood. I grew up in a Christian community where I was constantly told to basically not be who I was, like not be like basically not show what I feel like I was created to be, which is like be an athlete, be an inspiration to other people to get more out of their body. And the people would always say, like, they would look at my family and they would just be like, oh, you guys just have good genetics and that's why you guys are healthy. It was a pretty toxic community looking back. And I see that now, but I grew up basically trying to suppress who I was for a long time. And I'm definitely over that now. And I've definitely learned that most people that tell you like, oh, you just have good genetics, or you just have X, Y, or Z. The reason why is because they're trying to make themselves feel better for not asking the most out of themselves. Genetics do factor, I'm not gonna lie, but I haven't really met many people or really anyone that's been like, oh, I don't have good genetics, and they've actually tried to max out their potential. And I still haven't maxed out my potential, so I feel like I can't say that to somebody if they beat me. I wouldn't be able to say that because there's still more on the table for me to improve on. But it does make people feel better, because then it's like, well, I'm just not capable of this, so therefore it's genetic, I shouldn't even try. So I think that's why.
Yeah, I get it a lot too with the running thing, where a lot of people say, I'm just not built to run, or it's easier for you because you're built like a runner, and whatever that's supposed to mean. But yeah, you're right. It's an excuse to not do the things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely don't look like a typical runner right now, or really have I ever, but I'm making it work. And I think, you know, everybody takes different shapes and sizes for specific sports. Obviously, like there is some level of importance to that. But yeah, I think it really does come down to excuses for sure.
Yeah, well, that's why you guys beat me anyway. That's all it is. It's just talent, youth, training, expertise. Anyway, all that stuff. Whatever. Well, going back to your 3K and moving on. So you decided to do the 3K. You had a great race. It was a good time. And then you're saying, did you even get to stay around for the award ceremony?
No, I literally stayed around for maybe 20 to 30 minutes because they were trying to get a podium shot that wasn't the official podium once they confirmed the time, so that it wouldn't look as bad when they like posted on their website. Because I told them, I was like, I have to drive to Reno to catch this flight. And if I don't make this flight, then I'm not going to make it to San Antonio, Texas in time for Alpha Warrior. And I told them I would be there. And it also seemed like a really good opportunity. And I was supposed to land in San Antonio, Texas at around 12:30 at night. And I drove to Reno, got to the airport on time. Everything was going so smooth. My little brother was awesome and just dropped me off at the airport. And then he drove back to Salt Lake and I flew. But we boarded the plane. I literally had the thought, I was like, I think this is going to go really well. I'm going to get like 6 hours of sleep before the race tomorrow. And I kid you not, a few minutes later, something hits the plane and I feel it. And I'm like, that was not good. It turns out it was the little tow truck that tows the plane around. Well, it disconnected somehow or something, or it wasn't hooked up and it hit the plane and dented it. So they had to call in a mechanic, and the mechanic wasn't even at the airport. So they had to like find his number, call him in, wait for him to drive, check out the plane, get all the paperwork done, and then fly out. And by then I had missed my other connection flight by like an hour. But we were still stuck on the plane. And so Delta, rebooked me. The only flight that could get me in even close, like before the race in San Antonio the next morning, was flying all the way to Georgia and then flying back to Texas. And I would land less than an hour before it started. And so I told Ryan Kent, because he was my coach at Alpha Warrior, and he said they would get it figured out. And I tried to sleep on the plane as much as I could, but you know how when you get stuck behind between two, because I was flying standby, so I didn't even get to pick my seats. So usually I try and pick a window seat if possible, flying standby. The plane is packed. I barely make it. I was flying standby both flights, so I didn't even know if I was going to make it, but I made it. First flight, the 4-hour flight to Georgia, I was stuck between two rather large Americans, which is pretty standard these days. They were like elbows out and everything. Two guys, like older men, and they definitely didn't want me to snuggle with them. So I did not sleep on that flight at all. And then I slept, I think, for like a half hour to an hour in the airport waiting for. I had to wait for about 2 hours to fly to Texas. And so I think I slept for maybe 30 minutes to an hour, and then got on the next flight and landed. And then one of the guys from Alpha Warrior was super awesome and picked me up from the airport to get me there, warmed up, and then started that race. And I definitely had the thought. I was like, well, I'm either going to lose and I'm going to be frustrated, or it could be really cool to win and have a cool story. So I was thankful that it kind of worked out as the second option.
All right. So Alpha Warrior, because some people might not realize exactly what it is, but so lay out that how the course went for Alpha Warrior. And I mean, I'll lay out the basic premises. There was six of you, was there not? And you had a certain amount of pits and you get to a certain area and then the last person would be eliminated and the rest would continue on and so on. And you're looking at a combination of, looked like fitness stations combined with obstacles.
Yes. So there were six men and six women, and all of them were pretty much hitters. They had some really strong guys, like VJ was there. Jarrett Newby was there. I'm always terrified of him. Cole Schwartz was there. He's super strong. And so they had a guy named Justin who was also really fit, and they had like a stacked squad. And so I got there when they were about halfway through or almost all the way through the women's race. And so I got to see a little bit of how it went, and I got to warm up a little bit on some of the obstacles. And it started out with a 60-pound sandbag on your back, and it's a backpack and a sandbag at the same time. And you did 1,000 meters on the ski erg, or sorry, not 1,000 meters, 50 calories. And then you progress to this series of walls that you throw the sandbag over, or you can leave the sandbag, jump over all the walls and come back and get your sandbag. And me being the idiot that I was, I chose to pick the sandbag and throw it over three times instead of just dropping it, jumping over without it, and then coming back to get it, which would have been way faster. So I was almost dead last. I was dead last at that point. But the cool thing was, it wasn't a standard race that I typically do where like you want to be, you don't want to lose time because you're going for the win right off the bat. I thought of it as like, I knew I was tired. I knew I didn't feel amazing, and I knew my body would probably warm up into it. And I took a bunch of caffeine as well. So I actually was going for more perspective of like, just don't get eliminated in each round. And so I kind of was trying to pace it through the whole thing. And so I made it to the Echo bike, which is like an assault bike. And we had to do 50 cals on that. And I was pretty sure that was where I would be able to make up some time. Cause I lost a bunch of time on the sandbag work. I had some poor technique and just really, really started to warm up, and then finally felt good on the assault bike. And I ended up jumping into second on the assault bike behind BJ. Then we had some wall balls, stayed in second. Then we had burpees, and I paced the burpees out. I felt like really well and made some time up on BJ on that. And then we had a couple obstacles. There's basically obstacle station, and made up a little bit of time on this like 180 degree turn giant ring contraption. So you swung from ring to ring, And it was my second time through it. I didn't get to practice the day before, but I did get to practice right before. And I decided to swing really far out and then swing back and make it more like a V, kind of like ricochet the day before. And that worked really well. And I made up some time on that. And then it was a 50 cal row. And I also made up a significant amount of time on the 50 cal row. And I think I came off first off that. And then had a good couple obstacles. And then VJ passed me on, there was like this spider wall with ropes hanging down. So he passed me on that obstacle. And then we had to shuttle Atlas balls and put them on a platform. And we had to do, I think it was like an 80, a 100, and a 150. And we might have started with a 50 pound. I think there were four balls. And you just shuttled them like 15 yards, dropped them on a platform, and went and got the other one. And that was the final elimination. So I knew if I came into that one in second, I was safe, because the women I saw, and also it had been explained to me, the final competition between the top two was a tug of war with this weird round contraption. And the only goal was to yank it out of the other person's hands. So I started kind of going into a strategy of how easy can I go after not getting eliminated from third into making it to that top two so that I can go against whoever it is. And so VJ made it there and I made it there. But in order to start the tug of war thing, we had to carry, I think it was about 400 pounds, like a yoke carry. And we both took a while to do that. And then immediately after, you had to start the tug of war. So as long as both people completed the yoke carry, you start the tug of war. The second person who completes it goes straight to the tug of war. The other person gets to rest and you start immediately. And then the winner of that gets a 10-second head start on this giant obstacle contraption that they have called Alcatraz, I think is what it's called. And it's kind of like, it's a series of like a slick wall with a chain that you climb up, drop down a couple, you crawl through a bunch of cargo netting, which really spiked my heart rate because it was probably about 50 yards worth of crawling. And then you go across a bunch of monkey bars, down a cargo net, and then jump off and ring a bell, and that's the winner. And so I knew I was pretty gassed. I knew VJ's really good at obstacles. And so I definitely went pretty hard on that tug of war. And my goal was just to kind of surprise VJ to try and get it out of his hands. But we had a really fun battle. It's on Instagram, on Alpha Warrior's page, and on mine, if you guys want to check it out. But basically, like, we were just going as hard as possible, trying to rip this thing out of each other's hands, and we're rolling all over the ground. And then I finally got it, and that's where my time started. So I had 10 seconds to basically get as far into the obstacle as I could before VJ caught me, which did give me a big leg up. Cause if I wouldn't have had that 10 seconds, he would have had me for sure. Like he brought back at least 5 seconds on that obstacle, if not more.
So yeah, when you were doing that tug of war, it looked like two crocodiles fighting over a piece of meat, trying to rotate in different directions.
That's what it felt like.
I was not a fan of the tug of war part of this. I liked the rest of the event. I loved the setup. I mean, it was grandiose. It was really well built. It was visually good. It was some good stuff going on. I did not like that tug of war thing, and I think the women's side of it pointed out a definite flaw in the system where, I mean, yep. Carly had multiple minute lead, and then she actually, by winning the tug of war, she lost multiple minutes of her lead. So, I mean, there was definitely a flaw in the system, and I'm assuming they'll rectify that next time. But
yes, they definitely, I actually pointed that out when they told us how they were going to do the competition. I said, wait, so if you have a big lead, you have to wait at the tug of war. And they said, yes. And I actually talked to Ken about it. And I was like, I don't think this is a good idea. But they had already set the competition, and it's something that I'm sure they'll change next year. Everything else about the competition was awesome.
So in a way, maybe it's a good thing it happened, because otherwise it might carry on for a while like that. So
yeah,
I admittedly do feel for Carly though on that one. But yeah, so it was a great event. So you went through all that, and obviously all that, you're feeling back in good shape. I assume you're getting ready for, is the next big step is DECA Worlds, or is there something before that?
It depends on how my body feels, to be honest. I am not back to normal Ryland stuff yet. And so I'm having to be really cautious, like anyone should be after taking 3 or 4 months off of running, basically. You should be really cautious with how quickly you return to your regular splits or your regular amount of mileage and stuff like that. So I pushed it a little bit by going to Mexico. And the reason I did that is because I had the potential to snag the series overall. And then I was pretty sure as long as I just didn't get last or something, I could secure second place, which it had a good amount of money. And also, like, I really think it would be cool to add a series overall win to the resume, which I didn't get. Dufault definitely deserved it. He was the most consistent across the series by far. But yeah, I decided to go try. And that was starting to push it. And then I really want to do Trifecta Worlds. And so I decided to do the Beast the next day. And I told myself if I wasn't feeling good, or if I felt any sort of pain or anything, I was just going to pull out, because it wasn't a good excuse to push through anything. Cause after that point, like, I had secured my spot in the series. There really wasn't a lot of prize money on that race. And it was just a for fun thing. So I ran with first and second, and they gapped me for a little bit. And then one of them failed the, what do they call it? Not the balance beam, the slack line. Okay. And then the other one failed 10-foot wall. So we were all together at like mile 8, like within 5-10 seconds of each other. And so I go up and over 10-foot wall and I got it. But jumping up it and down, I noticed some pain just in my patellar tendon, which I've had patellar tendonitis before. And I knew I was pushing my mileage, so I just immediately shut it down. And so right now I'm trying to decide, and just I'm purely going off feel, if I'm going to do Trifecta Worlds or not. And I'm just going to monitor how my body feels until basically I'm supposed to fly out. And if I get to do it, cool. If not, tough luck. I'm going to focus on DECA Worlds. But DECA Worlds is the next like big goal. That's my goal, is I want to be the first male athlete to win a OCR world championship and a hybrid world championship in the same year, because no one's done it yet except for Chris. So she's got the women's side, she got WTM, which is the OCR, and she got High Rocks in the same year. But no men, like none of the men have done it or even gotten close really, and people keep saying the gap's getting wider, and I would like to prove that wrong. So DECA Worlds is the next main goal.
You definitely seem in line for that. And I just watched the Mexico race today, and wow, that looked like a torrid pace. Like, that looked fast. Super fast. It looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like,
I felt like I ran decent. I did not obstacle well on the second lap. I got told to go back because I like to start on the taller box so I can jump out farther.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the volunteers yelled at me and told me to restart. So I stopped and actually started to go backwards. And then Steve was like, no, 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 he's good. So I started going again.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I let that get to me or what. Honestly, like, I should be mentally strong enough to just go through it. But then I struggled on Twister right after that.
I did see that.
And man, I lost so much time. I also lost time on the crawls. Because the first time I crawled, I did my own technique. I really liked it, but I kind of banged up my knee. So I switched to a different technique, and I was just so slow. And Angel was super fast. And then Leon was super fast on monkey bars and Twister. they're all just quick. And so that time I just would have to run it back. And after the second lap, I was like, well, I'm not even in touch anymore. So big mistakes on my part. I did do really well on the multi-rig. But that's part of the reason I wanted to try the Beast, was kind of to see where my running was at. And those guys, like, it was Ciro and I'm trying to remember the other guy's name. Two really fast guys, like 32-minute 10K runners, like 220 marathoners, super fast guys. And I was actually fairly happy with where my running was at during that Beast until I had to pull out. But those guys are legit over there, man. Like at 6,000 feet, they're cranking out sub 6 minute mile pace. For we were sub 6 minute mile pace on all the running basically until we got to the first major climb, which was like 7 miles in.
Yeah, those guys, they don't mess around. They can haul. It was, and like I said, just watching that 3K, seeing the pace that they were running at, like you guys went, it was quick. It was actually, of the 3K ones I saw, it was the one that I most saw that I would like, oh, I would have liked to have done that one. I would have liked to have been on that. I know more people would like crazy up and downs and stuff, but to me, that one was like, bolt, get to the obstacle, get through the obstacles fast as you can, bolt, get to the next one. I just thought it was a great, great layout for what I would enjoy. But anyway, we don't want to keep you too long. Big thing I want to say is congrats on the world title. So you got the world championship. I know that's got to mean a lot to you, and it's well-deserved. It might not have been the deepest field, but the front of the field was damn good. So it's a hell of a win. And it was very impressive on what looked like a very difficult course, as far as the hill and the mountain stuff like that. It looked like a good course. So congrats on that. And Beth, you got anything else for Rylan tonight?
I do not know. Thanks so much, Rylan, for coming on tonight. And also all the best with your training over the next while. And we'll see you at DECA Worlds.
Okay, I'm so excited to see you guys. It'll be fun. And thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.